Hello, this is Chatterbox, the talking news for Norwich. Welcome to edition 2033, recorded on Thursday, the 25th of October, 2018. Hello, I'm Paddy Watkins and I'm joined by
Ian Robertson.
Today we have the usual batch of news items about the city for you and some letters to the evening news, and also a feature recalling the opening 80 years ago of Norwich City Hall. First of all, a big apology. Last week you should have had Let's Talk on your memory stick after the weekly edition. However, there were technical problems at the last minute. This meant that we either sent out the sticks without Let's Talk or did not send them out to you at all. So we obviously chose to send them out even though the spoken text said you had the delights of the magazine at the end. We hope there's no repeat of the problem this week, so hopefully we'll be able to manage to add a Let's Talk to this edition.
After that apology, we'll get on with some news items. Our feature is about City Hall, and the City Council is itself in the news as it has invested in commercial property outside Norfolk. At the same time, that Norfolk institution Aviva, formerly Norwich Union, is setting up in Ireland, but promises that that will not affect its operation in Norwich, whilst following the terrible Grenfell fire, it has been announced that five tower blocks in Norwich require the replacement of the cladding which proved so disastrous at Grenfell. Norwich City Council could have to wait more than 23 years to recoup almost £10 million it spent on two commercial properties in Kent and Corby. The council's property asset list, which was updated in August this year, shows it has purchased a gym in Holmes Way in Ramsgate for £2.3 million. It has also snapped up what is described as a cold store in Corby, Northamptonshire, for £7.2 million. Both costs include fees and taxes. The council said it owns the freehold to the buildings, which are then let out to tenants. The gross rental income for both properties combined is almost £400,000 per year. It means it could take the council more than two decades to recoup the £9.5 million it spent. Mike Stonard, Cabinet Member for Sustainable and Inclusive Growth, said the council was investing in property to make up for money lost through government cuts. Our choice was either to cut services or to bring in more income, he said. We chose the latter. The council has owned property for many years, which generates income from rent received, which is invested in frontline services. But in view of the financial pressure on the city council, and like many local authorities across the country, we decided to expand this portfolio. The city council said it used specialist surveyors to help source suitable investment property. It said all properties have to undergo a rigorous selection criteria.
Insurance firm Aviva has offered reassurance that setting up an Irish subsidiary will not impact on jobs or customers in the UK. Irish news outlet RTE reported that the company was transferring the administration of insurance policies from the UK to Ireland to safeguard against the possible implications of Brexit. Irish customers and a small number of UK customers will be affected. A spokesman confirmed Aviva was reincorporating its business in Ireland, and the transfer referred to the legal registration of the policies. But she said there would be no impact on the 5,000 workers employed by Aviva in Norwich. Aviva's other European businesses are structured as subsidiaries, but its Irish operations had previously been serviced from the UK, a situation complicated by Brexit. The transfer will be adjudicated on by a Scottish court in January.
Five tower blocks in Norwich are set to have their cladding replaced after failing fire safety tests, it can be revealed. Aluminium cladding on the blocks at Geoffrey Watling Way, behind Carrow Road, failed the tests which were undertaken around the country last summer in the wake of the Grenfell tragedy. developer Taylor Wimpey wrote to the residents in the 174 apartments this summer to inform them. While the cladding used on the buildings is different to that on the Grenfell Tower, the Larsen PE aluminium composite material did not pass flammability tests, despite complying with building regulations. Taylor Wimpey has said it has put aside cash to replace the cladding on four of the five buildings, which are privately owned and run by a management company, but would not disclose the cost of the scheme. In the fifth, the six-storey Brennan Bank, they said freeholder Broadland Housing would be entitled to government funding for the work. The developer said it did not expect tenants to have to pay any direct costs for the scheme or to move out during the work, but with the final costs of the work confidential, could not confirm whether any indirect costs would eventually reach residents. Tests were also undertaken at two nearby blocks, Ashman Bank and Allison Bank, as a precaution, but the replacement has not been deemed necessary.
Researchers at the UEA are helping to design a robotic boat capable of surviving the extreme temperatures of the Antarctic. The University of East Anglia team is working with engineers at Autonaut Limited to create a vessel that will collect vital information about the cause of sea level rise. The boat will use waves to propel itself forward and is equipped with solar panels to power the electronic systems on board. But with air temperatures reaching below minus 10 degrees Celsius, there is a risk ice will form on the vessel, which could damage some of the scientific sensors. That is why UEA researchers have been conducting a series of tests in a specially conducted sea ice chamber, which replicates the polar environment. Professor Karen Haywood from UEA's School of Environmental Sciences said the Autonaut will be able to collect scientific data very efficiently over long distances and long missions. We need to understand how warm water gets underneath the Antarctic ice to melt it and cause sea level rise.
Work has begun to restore and preserve a mill first built in the 1880s, as efforts to use the site as an educational resource take shape. The Stracey Arms Mill near Great Yarmouth is to be safeguarded after Norfolk County Council successfully bid for £554,600 from the Heritage Lottery Fund to carry out the work. Once completed, a programme of workshops, day schools and community events will begin at the Grade 2 listed mill in 2019 for people to learn more about the landmark, the local landscape and the families who lived at the site and worked on the surrounding marshes. Councillor Martin Wilby, Chairman of the Council's Environment, Development and Transport Committee and also Chair of the Norfolk Windmills Trust, said this is a fantastic project that will allow people to better understand the history of Norfolk and its historic marshes and distinctive broads. I am pleased it was made possible by our bid to the Heritage Lottery Fund. Thanks to the National Lottery players, work is now well underway.